Roger with us. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Lunchtime is here. Hit up Edley's online, edleysbbq.com, to check out the great menu items that they have available for curbside pickup or delivery. It's all online, edleysbbq.com. You can download the Edley's app as well. Every Wednesday at 12:15, we are joined by Greg Cosell of NFL Films. He joins us to talk NFL draft, NFL free agency, and all of the NFL happenings. Greg, how are you today?
Hanging in there, Jonathan. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I thought of you yesterday whenever they canceled CMA Fest this year. That hit home to you because you were coming to town.
Well, I knew that was coming. I mean, that was just a matter of time.
Greg, let's start in free agency. What can you tell us about defensive lineman Jack Crawford, who has been an NFL journeyman, most recently with Atlanta, and just what you know about the depth guy that he's been across the league on the interior defensive line?
Well, I remember liking him when he came out of Penn State. He was a guy who could play both defensive tackle and defensive end, which he did throughout his career in the NFL. And I think in today's NFL, where you're looking for that kind of thing on your defensive front, you're looking for multi-positional players, I think he's a good fit. You know, he's obviously not a guy you sign to be a star, but he's a rotational player who plays in specific packages, and he can line up both on the outside and on the inside. So, you know, I think he's a good pickup.
Better than Austin Johnson?
Better pass rusher than Austin Johnson, a more athletic. Different build, different body type, different kind of player.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, Yannick Ngakoue, reportedly available via trade through Jacksonville, even though they've tagged him, a real consistent player at a high level. And he's more than just, as Coach Mack would put it, an empty chair out there when the Titans and everyone else would have to prepare for him. How consistent has he been throughout those years there in Jacksonville? And just discuss the player that teams would be likely wanting to trade for.
Well, Ngakoue, to me, I mean, he's predominantly, what he's been, let's put it this way, is a 4-3 D end. But we know that those kinds of things are not as important as they used to be. He's a really good edge pass rusher. That's what he is. So, you know, you can decide in your base defense what you think he is or how much base defense you're going to play. But he's a true edge pass rusher and a very good one. So, you know, I think that teams have to decide what kind of value that is. You can also get caught up in, hey, we're an edge pass rusher away from being really good. Yeah, I think you have to be careful a little bit about that. I mean, obviously pass rush is important, but you have to decide what he's worth. But he's very good as an edge pass rusher.
Let's get to the upcoming draft. You've watched a handful of really good players that are available, and we stay on defense this week. And let's start at the top of the interior defensive line class and then across the defensive line overall. And let's chat about Auburn's Derrick Brown. He is a solid player for even or odd fronts in college. He's competitive. And you've told me, Greg, he's one of your top overall prospects of this entire draft, regardless of position. Why?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I mean, I think he can become a complete defensive tackle over time. The one thing he's not great at right now is I wouldn't call him a great pass rusher. You know, I'd look at him right now for people who follow the NFL closely and are familiar with other teams. He kind of reminded me of a Michael Brockers or an Akeem Hicks. And I remember talking with Coach Mack at the Combine, and I made the Michael Brockers comparison to Coach Mack, and he thought that was a good one. So Brown is a very good player. He's got size, power, strength. He's pretty athletic for a big man. He's competitive. He made some pursuit plays well outside the box. He's certainly a highly disruptive interior D lineman. I think he can play in even fronts. He can play in odd fronts. If he can just improve his pass rush, I think he can be a big, big-time interior player.
South Carolina's Javon Kinlaw is a player I'm intrigued to get your evaluation of because he looks the part, as so many players do, and he's a good player lining up all across those defensive fronts there in South Carolina. But when you're watching him play, and he played a lot with, 35 starts or so there, was he as consistent game-to-game, quarter-to-quarter, as you would expect a player at the top of the draft to be? Can he be a Chris Jones-type player? I know he has the traits. I don't see that player every snap from him, though.
No, and I think that's a good comparison. I think people who draft him will feel he can develop into that kind of player with his size and his movement. You know, he certainly has the desirable combination of size, length, power, quickness, movement. And your point's correct, because I did say in my notes that he was not a consistently dominant inside defender. Now, he was used a lot at South Carolina in three-man pass rush situations where they just rushed three and he'd get double-teamed. And he would tend to stand up and not really do a great job. But again, you can make the argument that when there's a three-man rush, which is not going to happen that often in the NFL, that hurt him. I think he's at his best as a power leverage player. He's got heavy, violent hands. He has a powerful lower body. The question, again, is pass rush. Can he be a strong pass rusher? Because that's what the NFL game has evolved into, that you need your interior defensive linemen to be good pass rushers. The Chris Jones comparison, Jonathan, that's a good one. I think people who love him will think he can become that.
And the main difference between Kinlaw and Brown is just consistency, snap after snap?
They're probably somewhat similar in terms of what they could be, because I think that Kinlaw is, the Michael Brockers comparison also made sense for him as well. I don't think that he's got the twitchiness and pass rush explosiveness of an Aaron Donald, and again, Aaron Donald is a special guy. But, I think there's probably some similarities between the two players.
Greg Cosell with us. Let's go to TCU and Ross Blacklock. He's a full-grown man on the defensive line when you look up some of his play there. Hey, I know he missed all of 2018 with Achilles injury. He's two-gapped a lot at TCU with Patterson's defense. And on every snap, he is making something happen. He's a good player, Greg, but where does he compare in this list of interior defensive linemen?
Well, he's a better pass rusher right now than either Brown or Kinlaw. And he was a fascinating watch for me because he has elite lateral quickness, change of direction, closing burst and speed. He's got really natural athletic traits to rush the quarterback. He played a ton of what we call zero technique and one technique at TCU, but I think his traits suggest that he's a three-technique defensive tackle in the NFL, and that is, he's a gap player. He's got tremendous quickness. I think he's a high-level prospect due to his pass rush ability, and inside pass rush is an in-demand commodity in the NFL. So, I really think that Blacklock is a guy that I really keep an eye on. I don't know, again, you know me, Jonathan. I don't predict where guys may or may not get drafted, but I think Blacklock is one of those guys that we could start to hear a lot about. And I think he ultimately transitions in the league as a three-technique defensive tackle.
So his quickness off the snap, that initial burst, is impressive?
Yes, and he beats people with his athleticism. So to me, he's a gap player, and I really liked his tape, and I didn't know anything about him. I hadn't seen him until the combine. He actually ran really well just to prove his athleticism. He ran a 4.940, which for a 6'3", 290-pound man is pretty good.
Now, speaking of quickness, initial burst, Oklahoma's Neville Gallimore, he made a lot of plays by winning on the initial move, and he is quick in that short area. What do you like about him? What are your reservations? What do you think holds him back ultimately from being compared to Blacklock?
I don't think he's quite the pass rusher. I mean, he's got natural quickness. He's a good athlete. He's very, very competitive. I think he did flash the ability to rush the quarterback with quickness off the ball. He's got pretty strong, active hands that at times carried some power and some pop. I think that the one thing that with him is Oklahoma played a slanting front. They slanted their D linemen a lot, so they allowed him to come off the ball with movement. And that allowed him to be an effective player. He showed outstanding range to make plays outside the box. He did have a tendency to play a little high at times, and that's always a concern for D linemen when you transition and project them to the NFL, because that negated all his strength and his traits. And he needs to be a quickness explosion player because of his shorter stature. So that's ultimately what he needs to be, and if he plays too high, he loses all that. So I think he's a good prospect, but I think there are some concerns with him.
Coming up, Greg Cosell continues the discussion on the defensive line. We'll focus more on SEC players. I know Chad's about to discuss some players from LSU, among others. We'll get to some linebackers as well, including a couple of players from Mississippi State. It's the Midday 180 with Greg Cosell. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
You know what? They may not be playing the games, but we're still talking sports. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Barbecue. We continue with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. We're going to mix and match some edge pass rushers, some defensive ends and defensive tackles, and continue the discussion into the linebackers of the NFL draft. And Chad, let's start in the SEC.
Boy, there's a lot of good ones in the SEC, specifically at LSU, Greg. And I want to start with a guy whose name typically comes up behind Chase Young in terms of edge pass rushers, and that's Chaseon from LSU. What do you make of him as a prospect?
Oh, I really like this kid. And you know, keep in mind, he's 20 years old. But I really, really like this kid. I think he's a high-level edge prospect. I think he's just scratching the surface, Chad, of what he can become, given his lack of experience. I think he only played 26 games and maybe started 17, something like that. But he's an explosive athlete. He's got natural quickness. He's got sudden movement. I think he showed, given his lack of experience, a pretty refined sense of pass rush moves. They used him to drop back into coverage as an underneath coverage defender. When they played Oklahoma, he ran down C.D. Lamb. He's a guy you can move around. You can stand him up. I think he's got explosion, bend, change of direction, closing speed. I would look in 3 years for this guy to be a really, really good player in the NFL.
Greg, in your analysis of C.D. Lamb, how many times did players run him down?
I don't think they ran him down a lot. I just remember that specific play because I was watching Chaseon, and I just went, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah.
But Chaseon is a guy I really, really like on tape. And like I said, because he's so young and lacks experience, I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can become.
Let's stay with that LSU defense. Patrick Queen from LSU. What do you make of him, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I like Patrick Queen. I don't know if I'm quite as high on him as everybody else is. Like, I really like Kenneth Murray a lot more, but Queen certainly fits the profile of the undersized, athletic, running, chase, stack backer. A lot of people say that's what you need to be in today's NFL. I don't think he's an overly physical player. His game's built more on finesse and movement than strength and power. I don't think he plays downhill very well. You know, Coach Mack always talks about stacked linebackers. You still need to be able to use your hands and shed blocks. I think that's something that he needs to work on. But I will say this. I thought he improved significantly as the season progressed in terms of his play recognition and his reaction time and quickness. And that allowed his athletic traits to show up more. He may start out to me as a sub player. But again, those guys play 70% of the snaps, but he'll probably eventually develop into a three-down linebacker. But I think there's not a lot of physicality to his game.
Jabari Zuniga was an impressive-looking player at Florida and very impressive at times, but there were some questions about consistent effort with him. When you flipped on the tape and watched him at Florida, did you see some of those issues? And overall, what did you see in him?
I think he showed enough competitiveness. I don't know if that was a true issue, but I think he's one of the most intriguing prospects in this draft. He obviously got hurt in this last season, his senior year, playing only six games, but he's long, he's athletic. I mean, he ran a 4.64 40. Now, again, that's a number, but that shows his athleticism. He ended up playing multiple positions along Florida's front. I thought he showed outstanding flashes of explosive athleticism. So you have to take that into account. They were flashes. But somebody's going to look at him and think, wow, we can make this guy into a player. Because he showed these flashes both outside as a pass rusher and inside when he worked against offensive guards. So I think there's a lot that people will like. The question is, can he become that kind of player in the NFL?
You mentioned, Greg, Oklahoma linebacker Kenneth Murray, who you like. He's fast. He has range, an 80-inch wingspan, which comes into play quite a bit when you watch him play. He's explosive, What do you like about his physical tools?
I love his physical tools. Now, I know most people seem to, and again, these are just mock drafts, which they don't mean a lot to me, but most people seem to have Queen ahead of Murray. I liked Murray more. I thought his combination of size, length, explosive movement, I thought to me that was the best at the position in this 2020 draft class when you talk about stacked linebackers. I thought what he did well, too, was I thought he was aggressive and competitive in the box. Now, he played downhill. He took on blocks. He made those tackles in the run game. He also was effective as a pass rusher, adding a dimension to his game that gives an NFL D coordinator a lot more flexibility with fronts and schemes, much in the same way as Rashawn Evans, you know, who you guys know well, when he came out of Alabama yeah. 2 years ago, and that's been the case with the Titans, the way he's been used. They use him as a pass rusher at times. So I felt Murray was the best stacked linebacker prospect in this draft class, and I think he's got everything you look for. Now, again, having said that, I always have to pull back because people then think, oh, if the guy's not an All-Pro in his rookie year, that you know, it's a bad evaluation. You know, these guys are prospects. No one's played in the NFL. I'm talking about his traits and attributes. Whether this happens year one, that depends on so many other variables. But I thought this guy had the best traits and attributes.
Couple of guys from Mississippi State I want to get to, and first up is a player that Chad may be better equipped to ask you about, and that's Mississippi State's Chauncey Rivers. He's an interesting study for this draft because he started at Georgia, Greg. He was kicked off the team after multiple arrests yeah. for marijuana, so he ends up on the Last Chance U series.
Yeah.
And he was a standout. He ends up back in the SEC with the Bulldogs from the SEC West, and he ended up starting last season. What do you make of Chauncey Rivers?
Yeah, the problem that he'll have for a lot of teams is he's an edge player. He has to be an edge player because of his size, but he's only 6'2", and that could remove him from some teams' draft boards because, you know, they may not see him as having enough length. Now, there's always exceptions, but the other issue with him is he doesn't really possess the kind of sudden explosive quickness that you really like to see. But yet there are a lot of plays that he didn't make. You know, you see a player with some snap to his movement, some nuance to his game. He could be one of those guys that fits a multiple front approach in which he lines up at different positions, both inside and outside, maybe play, you know, 10, 15 snaps a game. You know, one guy I thought of, and you guys know him well from his college career, he was undrafted, but he's done a real nice job in the NFL. I thought of someone like Adam Butler. You know, Adam Butler came out of Vanderbilt yeah. undrafted. He's went to New England where they play multiple fronts. He's an important piece of what they do, but he probably plays 15 snaps a game. Rivers could be that kind of guy in the right situation.
I may be jumping ahead a little bit here of a guy that you haven't had a chance to watch yet, but by chance, have you seen Daryl Taylor from Tennessee?
No, and he was, you know, it's funny. Before we shut down at Films, he was my next guy because I knew the Tennessee connection, and I was going to watch him the next day, and then NFL Films shut down, and I couldn't really watch him. So, but from what I understand, I mean, he's got a lot of traits that people like, so... again, we don't know where he's drafted, but he's got good length, good movement, and explosiveness to him. You probably know a little more about him, Chad, than I do, but I think he's got a chance.
Greg, the other Mississippi State player to ask you about is linebacker Willie Gay. He is a quintessential C-ball, get-ball linebacker, and he surprised a lot of people at the combine with his impressive numbers that he put up.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's the player, for those that don't know, that was suspended from the Music City Bowl for punching the quarterback in the face during practice. How would you define his role within an NFL defense when you watch him play? Because a lot of people went back and really dissected the film on him after the numbers that he put up in Indy.
Yeah, he ran a 4.46 40 and a 10-yard split of 1.5, which is better than a lot of running backs. So, you know, people went back and watched him, which I did. He certainly brings a strong traits profile to the table. I mean, he's got good size. He's over 240 pounds. He's got explosive sideline-to-sideline speed and range. He's got really good reactive athleticism and change of direction. He'll get coaches excited with his size, athleticism profile, and you would think with more experience and development, he's got a chance to become a prototypical stacked linebacker. He's got that kind of high-level movement and range. I don't know if that'll happen right away. He made an interception return for a touchdown this past season, which I think it was against Kentucky, which I thought really was a good play, not because he returned it for a touchdown, but I thought he understood his responsibility within a zone pressure scheme as a coverage player. And I remember that play specifically, and I remember thinking that was pretty good. But it'd probably be a good idea not to punch the quarterback in the face wherever he goes.
Yeah, no kidding. And yeah. Chances are they're not going to have full padded practices leading up to a playoff game like they did in Mississippi State for the bowl game. Let's go back to the defensive line interior. Jonathan Grenard, former Louisville player, he transferred to Florida. He can rush from up or down, but Coach Mack was telling me, he goes, he's probably a rotational guy. Would you like to see him finish plays with more regularity?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I kind of felt the same way, that I thought that, you know, he's a multiple position guy. You know, maybe he's a Trey Flowers type, and I know Trey Flowers is probably thought of as a pretty good player in the NFL, but he was a fourth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I think that he's not a dynamic individual pass rush guy, so he's a rotational guy in multiple fronts. So I would agree with Coach Mack. But there was a savvy and awareness to Grenard's play that it consistently showed up on film, and it probably will get him some early snaps in the league as that kind of player.
Sticking it in, Julian Aquara from Notre Dame, pass rusher. His brother plays for Detroit. He's not a power player, but he's got some bend off the edge. He's not a very physical player, but a third of his tackles, and looking at his numbers, and you can take this a bit further, a third of his tackles went for a loss, and that shows his range and his pursuit speed.
Well, he looks the part, Jonathan, and for those who look at this stuff and feel like it's important, his arm length and wingspan will get people excited because it's really tremendous. But I think he's got a lot of development to do as far as pass rush variety and understanding how to work offensive tackles. But he's got a long, athletic, rangy build. He can clear the edge. He can flatten to the quarterback. There's much to like and work with, but I think it's important to understand right now that he's not that guy yet. That he's, I hate to use the word project, because in today's NFL, guys can play 10 snaps and be a factor in games. But I think just if you look at him as an individual player, that you have to understand what he is and what he isn't at this point. But there's much to like given his build and his physical and athletic traits.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, Curtis Weaver, a stout punch guy from Boise State. He has the size to make me think that he can move in and play the five technique. Could a team use him up and down the line?
Weaver was a tough evaluation for me. I mean, he has outstanding college production, but he's a bad body athlete. He doesn't have great movement traits. I don't think he's an edge rusher. He was one of those guys that watched him. A ton of his sacks came when he was unblocked, and you know you have to take note of that. He's not a twitchy guy. He's not a sudden explosive guy. So you wonder if he can replicate his college success against the far better players he'll face at the next level. Now, there were some subtleties and nuance to his game as a pass rusher. Can he build upon those? He would need to be a technician. But the one thing he needs, and I certainly don't know anything about Boise State and their weight program, but he needs an NFL weight program because his body needs to be reshaped.
Greg Cosell, the best when it comes to analyzing the draft. Unfortunately, he's not allowed inside NFL Films right now, so he's working from home, and he's nice enough to join us by phone from his home each and every Wednesday. Greg, how many books did you read in the last week, and what was your favorite?
I read a couple in the last week. I'm actually reading one now that will take me a little long, a really good author named Mo Hayter. It's a woman from England. She has a great character named Jack Caffrey. It's almost literature. They're really well written. I'm reading the second one in the series called The Treatment. This one will take me a little longer.
So it'll take you 2 days instead of one?
Well, I did zip through a book in 2 days, but, you know, it was an easier read. But this one will take me closer to 4 or 5 days.
3 days, Hutton. 3 days. This is going to be a long time for Greg. This one's going to take 3 days. It's that complicated.
Greg, I know, knowing you, you are itching to get back into your office. Hang in.
That's going to be a while, Jonathan, unfortunately.
I know. Hey, we'll catch up next week. We'll go further across the defense. Chad?
Yeah, can't wait to talk to you about Daryl Taylor in June when you get back into the office.
Yeah, when I get back in the office, I know.
Greg, thank you as always.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.